would you say you do here?
Well, look, I already told you. I deal with the goddamn customers so the engineers don't have to. I have people skills. I am good at dealing with people. Can't you understand that? What the hell is wrong with you people?
Pete Holmes, I'm a comedian. I'm with my boy Will. You're listening to the Homemade Broadcast because you're smart.
Personnel, this is CVTS. Space vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast. Good day. Hello. How are you? I hope you're well. My name is Will Koontz, host of this here program, heard on Radio St. Pete every Sunday, 6:15 p.m. You can find us in the archive there on their website, RadioSt.Pete.com, or Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for The Homemade Broadcast. Homemade is one word, of course. I am your host. Did I already say that? Maybe. Will Koontz. If I did not, hi. How are you? And this podcast is brought to you by Slybar. Check out why Slybar has been named one of the top 15 businesses to watch in 2015. And we have our open mics there every second and fourth Tuesday. They got good beers, no liquor. I think they're working on that, and eventually they'll have that. But got great beer down there. Joe and Lauren holding it down at Slybar. And we appreciate them. You can see them at facebook.com/Slybar St. Pete. Go give them a like on their page. They got lots of cool events happening. There's a hip-hop show coming up this month. They had one last year, and it was awesome. I got to put up some art there. Excuse me. Jesus. Sorry about that. Just burped right into the microphone. But they had they're having another hip-hop show this month that my friend Tiffany Taylor is putting on. So go check that out. You can find out more information on their Facebook page. Facebook.com/SlybarSt. Pete and Angelo's. Angelo's provides our pizza for us for the open mics. 536 First Avenue North and Facebook.com/SaintPizza. Love that. Best thing ever. So how are you? All right? You good? Yeah, I'm all right. Finally getting better from my illness that I had. I had a good time last week talking to Nicole about myself because I know that's about the only thing I do kind of know about is myself. Because I'm stuck with myself all the time. So I had a good time talking about me, and I hope you enjoyed that. I haven't gotten the numbers, but I'm sure it was probably the least listened to episode of this Homemade Broadcast yet. But no matter. Today I got Jake Barsness. He was on the program last year sometime, maybe a little less than a year, but he was on. He's a comedian. And Stick Martin. Stick is a musician. He plays in the Stick Martin Show. I wonder where he got that name. And he is also a comedian. So those guys have teamed up for this new cool event here that's taking place at Amsterdam starting August 9th. It's a late show. It's a service industry show. Everyone's welcome to go, of course, but they're going to be doing local music and a comedy show. So that begins August 9th, and I'm assuming it runs every Sunday thereafter, but they'll be in to talk about that shortly. That is at the Amsterdam, 1049 Central Avenue here in St. Pete. Free pizza from Angelo's. Oh, look at that. Dipping into my sugar. All you have to do is buy a beer from them, and if you do go to Amsterdam, they are cash only, so make sure you bring your dollars and all that stuff. So, Stick and Jake will be here shortly, and through the magic of radio, I'm just going to teleport them into the seats. So hang on 1 second, and when we come back, I'm an English major, which is hilarious. I have an English degree, and I can't even speak. I can think I'm a better writer, but even I catch myself making mistakes when I write, too. That's really humiliating. But anyways, when we be back, we be having Stick Martin and Jake Barsness sitting down with me, and we're going to talk about their shows, the Amsterdam show, and then whatever else they're doing. Lots of music playing and joke telling. So we'll be right back. You won't even notice I'm gone with Jake Barsness and Stick Martin. All right, look at that. Just like I promised, Stick and Jake are sitting right here next to me. I love this power of the pause button. And this app that I use is so flawless that I pause, it sounds like nothing even happened.
So you already did the intro before?
Did the intro.
Before we were even here? So now we just got to start?
I'm a constant professional, guys. I don't know. I think when you were here last time, Jake, I would record them at once type of thing.
Yeah.
Now I'm like, I don't want to have anybody have to suffer.
No, that's a good call. I did have to sit there for a little while.
You did.
Very long and intro. And just kind of like, I don't know if I'm supposed to say anything right now or not. Because you just kind of would be like, it was like a bunch of like commercial-esque sort of stuff. You know what I mean?
Well, I figured out the power of the pause button. Oh, that's really good. All I needed. And now I don't have to torment anybody. So Jake's been here before a while ago. What, like 10 months ago or so, probably?
At least is probably, sometime last year.
And Stick hasn't been here yet, but I wanted to get you in here because I know you're doing the music and the comedy. So
I've been in your house a bunch of times, just not when you're around.
I always wonder because outside my door, that rug is always perturbed and moved.
I come in, I unplug stuff mostly. Uh-huh. It's kind of my thing. I leave the bathroom faucet on. That's
Hey, I don't pay water, so go for it.
That's true. Cool.
But yeah, Stick.
He does disappear a lot at night, so you know, we live together. We're roommates. I mean,
you guys are living together.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen each other's wieners yet?
No.
No.
I feel like you've seen my wiener. I don't know.
No, I think I've gotten close a couple times, but I haven't. When you were like, because like we've both had chicks over and stuff, and like, you know what I mean,
nice.
Like. Unclothed with them and not paying attention to the fact that the door is slightly open or something like that.
Right.
I'm the type of person where it's like even people are in like my living room and I'm naked, I'll blow by that doorway to make it to the bathroom. You know what I mean? I'm just not that concerned. You know, I'm not, you know, like, hey, take a look. But you know, I'll walk through.
I only lived with, I had a couple roommates and I've never managed to see anybody's dong, which I was pretty psyched about. Not having to go through that. But the last guy I lived with worked an opposite schedule. So he would work nighttime and I would work daytime. So we would just spend that time when the other wasn't there, just nude the whole time. I don't know how you guys do things. But
like the first, we've lived together probably 4 years or something now.
At least.
And with like the first 6 months we lived together, like I never saw him. Like we were totally opposite schedules. I didn't know who he was or anything really.
Yeah, that still happens sometimes. You know what I mean? Like there's still times where there's a day or two that goes by where we don't see each other. That just at that point it was.
And then when you do see each other.
More exaggerated for sure.
You're happy to see each other when you eventually do.
Most of the time.
I want to make it clear we're not dating. We're not together. Yeah. Because it totally sounds like, well, when'd you guys move in together? Yeah, you know.
It is getting a little,
I'm a straight man. Jake's bi-curious. You know what I mean? He can go either way, but I only go the one way. So
I appreciate you clearing that up because I was curious.
Only for Matt Damon.
It seemed like it was headed
all right, only for, no, it definitely.
It felt,
The more the conversation went on, it super sounded like we were definitely in some sort of a relationship. That's why I dropped in the woman thing earlier.
A pretty
That's
serious
specifically
one.
Why
a pretty serious
I said
relationship.
Because you asked about the wiener thing, and it made it even more.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you guys must
you
be.
You guys showing each other your wieners every day.
Yeah.
Well, no, but it happens. It's like a locker room. You know, you go to you get out of the shower, you forget somebody's home.
Yeah.
You walk by. Oh, sorry, I'm nude in the living room. I didn't know I was just taking a shower.
I've had friends that wanted me to see their dick too, like the old watch. You'd be like, hey, guys, you see my new watch? And when you look, they're just, like, stretching their...
Here, pull this thing.
See, yeah. I've never...
Yeah, you got to suck right on that thing because it's
a cheap mic. They're holding their wiener across their wrist. Like, just weird stuff like that. You don't have that? You guys don't have a friend that shows you?
No. I've generally not... Like, if somebody has done that, I've generally not hung out with them again.
No,
so,
yeah,
like,
I
don't... Yeah, I don't have any friends that have done that.
I one time, I was...
Like, if you show me your dick on purpose, and I didn't ask you to, I don't want to see you again.
There wouldn't be a scenario like where you would ask them to, though, probably.
No, you never know. You never know. Not in a gay way, but, I mean, you can never predict the future.
Just to see what you're...
What if they have some secret code written on it to save the world from a nuclear bomb?
See what the competition
like
is, too.
You don't know.
Once I was on tour with my friend, Brooke Pridemore. He's a singer-songwriter, and we were staying at, like, some old friend of his, this girl, in Detroit. And I guess they had always been flirty or whatever when he lived in Detroit or whatever. So when we were staying there, it was him and I and our buddy Dan and then this chick. So, of course, after a little while, Brooke, like, disappears to her bedroom and they start hooking up in there. And me and Dan are just hanging out in the living room, you know what I mean, whatever. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after maybe a half hour, like, Brooke comes out just, like, holding his jeans up. Like, they're not buckled. He's just, like clearly just throwing them on, like, fast and is holding them up around his waist. And he comes out and he's like, yo, you guys have any condoms? You guys have any condoms, right? And, like, we didn't. We didn't have any condoms. So we were just like, all right, then I'm going pantsless. And he just, like, dropped his pants in front of us. So I saw everything, which, like, it's happened before. Like, I didn't really mind, but, like, he was still really, really turned on when he did it.
Yeah.
It's a whole other experience. It's a whole other, like...
Yeah, that...
You catch somebody walking through the house and you see it, that's one thing. Like, when it's, like... You know, 2 feet from your face and ready to roll, that's a whole other day. That's a whole other type of day.
Yeah, no, I feel you.
I don't I think it's weird.
I don't
when
understand
people...
why, wait, though, why, okay, so because he didn't have a condom, he just decided to show you his dick?
That's punishment.
Like that?
He was doing it to mess with us, for sure.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
I mean, because he took his pants off. So me and Dan took his pants, we put him in the freezer. It was like the middle of winter in Detroit.
Yeah.
So, yeah, when he woke up the next day, like, we had to, like, get ready to leave. Like, he had to retrieve his jeans from the freezer. So, like, that, you know, like, that's how we got him back.
Yeah,
yeah,
fair
yeah.
enough.
Different experience when that thing is ready to go.
Yeah.
I think it's creepy when people carry condoms on. Like, I think that's bizarre if someone had condoms in their pocket.
I don't get laid spontaneously as much as I wish that I did.
Yeah.
But I think that thing that said, I think it's wishful thinking, right? Like, well, you never know. Some girl might...
I feel like you're jinxing yourself in that case.
Maybe.
Yeah, but what about all the times, and I mean, I don't have any, but, like, I get it because what about all the times you don't have any money and you need, a girl wants to have sex and you can't go afford condoms? I'm poor, Will. Right.
I don't use them. So I don't believe in them.
Maybe it's a safety.
No, not a Catholic.
So I thought you might be Catholic.
Not for any reason. I don't believe in them because I feel like I'm invincible. I've been pretty good so far in my 30 years, and I haven't had any problems. So, you know, I just don't feel the need.
You're going to die of AIDS is what you're telling me.
No, that's a myth. That's a myth. Heterosexuals do not get AIDS.
Oh, okay.
It's not. You can't get it.
It's tough. It's tough to get. I mean, like, I know a lot of heterosexual people. Don't know a single one with AIDS.
Yep.
It's true.
Actually,
pretty
I don't know any.
Sure
I have a couple gay friends. And I don't know anybody with AIDS or even secondhand with AIDS either. I think we're pretty much in control of... AIDS for the most part.
Yeah, well, I mean, here's the thing about STDs, like diseases like that, like sexually transmitted disease. Most of the time, I feel like AIDS, you can kind of tell if somebody has AIDS at a certain point.
Right.
And at that, I mean, not right away. Obviously, you know, there's all the bullshit about like, oh, it can be hidden and may not prevent symptoms right away and all that. But like, once somebody has it, you can usually tell if somebody has like genital warts or something. And most of the time, you just don't have sex with those people. Those people don't really, you know what I mean?
This is my theory too.
You're just not gonna fuck them.
I don't pick up trash, so it's like it's not that big of a deal. It's not like I'm gonna, you know, pick up a prostitute or something that's a high risk for these diseases.
Yeah.
See, I will bring home a slutty girl. I won't care, and I probably won't wear a condom just because, like, I don't want to. You know? I mean, that's the main. I mean, I don't know.
The most thing that's going to happen from that is you might get chlamydia or gonorrhea.
Yeah, dude.
Maybe
that's a
herpes.
Trip to the doctor.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You take an antibiotic.
I get it. One in three people has herpes, which means one of us has it. It's probably me. Let's be honest.
Yeah, come on now.
But I mean, seriously, man, you got the HIV. You know, and aside from that, whatever. Like, everything else is a trip to the doctor.
Pregnancy would be a big one, too. But if you know, if you're a more than a 14-year-old boy, you should know how to control your wiener and not let that happen.
Well, see, now that is a myth. right there, Will.
How all so? Right? Tell me. Tell
because
me
so. The that's like that's a sex education basic 101 thing that you should really look into.
It's a lie.
The pull-out method does not work.
It works 100% of the time.
No, it does
not
work.
I'm an example.
I believe in the pull-out method. I really, really do.
If it doesn't work, that means you don't know how to control your wiener, and you need to meditate on that and figure it out.
Plus, right. There are so many awesome places to shoot an orgasm at.
That's true.
You know, it's like I feel like if you get a girl pregnant, you're not being creative enough.
That's true. Mm-hmm. That's true. If you're just joining us,
you realize that there's semen that comes out of your dick that you don't feel, right? When you ejaculate, there's semen that comes out. But before that, there's also semen.
Yeah, but my thing is,
I do know this. If you're just tuning in, I'm sitting down with Stick Martin and Jake Parsoness. We're talking about how the pull-out method is a myth. But also I want to talk about, you guys have, you're both comedians, Stick's also a musician. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about this show you have at the Amsterdam starting August 9th, every Sunday thereafter.
Yes, every Sunday. It's going to be pretty awesome. Starts late night, 11 p.m. We'll be having mixed music and comedy. The comedy starts at 12:30 a.m. So it's going to go real late till 2 in the morning. It's going to be every Sunday. It's a service industry thing. So, I realize there's a lot of people that are like, oh, that's late, it's Sunday, and I go to work in the morning. Well, we're not talking to you, all right? Because you're not cool,
yeah,
all right?
Go to your 9 to
that's,
5.
Yeah,
all right?
Go be boring, all right?
Go be a robot. This is St. Petersburg.
You know what cool people don't care about? What time it is or what day it is, all right? They just have fun when they want to have fun.
That's right.
Okay?
That's right.
So, but no, it's a mixed music comedy show. There's free pizza with every beer that you purchase.
You know something I just want to mention? That I'm going to be there
from Angelo's.
I'm going to get there early, and I'm not leaving till it's over. But if I did, if on Saturday, if I decided to not do it and I decided to pull out of the event – there's not going to be any comedy left in there. I'm going to pull completely out early enough, Jake. All right.
Yeah.
There won't be,
there you
there'll
go.
Be zero remnants of me if I wanted to.
That's
you know?
What I'm talking
if
about.
I
Stick knows exactly what I'm talking about.
I mean,
100% effective.
I don't see how that would be a big deal, honestly. we would just say, oh, well, there's no music anymore.
I'm trying
is there going to be a different round of comedians, different band every week, or how's that going to work?
Yes and no. Well, there's going to be – Stick and I are hosting it every week. We'll be there every week. We'll both be performing every week. We're going to be, doing some things we wrote a song together not too long ago. We're going to be doing stuff like that, trying to write songs for it and performing together, each of us. We'll do stand-up sets on our own. Stick's going to open up playing music from 11 to 12:30, and he will be bringing in guest musicians to play with him. So there will be other musicians, and something that's really cool you talked about, Stick,
Sunday night jam.
Yeah.
And then we might even do some stuff just be really experimental improv music and stuff, kind of laid back and chill. And I actually had the idea to possibly even play classic comedy records, old George Carlin, old Richard Pryor, and actually kind of provide a sonic background to that stuff. Maybe even remix some of the old comedy records, or try to, have theme nights where if I can think of one subject and then get 10 different comedy bits remixed all on that subject and then jam behind that, something like that. I've done it with Bill Hicks stuff in the past, it worked out great. So we might do some stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, and then at 12:30, the actual comedy show part of it will start. And like I said, there'll be free pizza for people to eat and kind of just chill at that point and just sit and watch and eat pizza and drink beer. And Amsterdam has great beers. They're all craft beers. I mean, that's an awesome place. And then we'll have, for the first week, it's going to be John J. Murray, Nina Ramdat, and David Weingarten performing.
Okay.
All hilarious people. Super awesome. I know Nina's part of the Got Jokes improv group, which is... I mean, they're all over the place performing. They just did a show at the Improv in Tampa. David Weingarten and John Jay are both part of Cigar City Comedy. Again, real big in Tampa right now. They've got shows all over the place as well. And John is a close friend of mine. I've worked with him a long time. He was part of Unlockable Characters, which I was on here promoting last time I was on.
Yep.
I mean, it's, phenomenal comics that are going to be on it. So
it's been taking off, man. The comedy scene has really been picking up in
even
Tampa
the
Bay.
Last year and a half.
Yes,
it's definitely. It's easily twice as big. There are so many private rooms up and running now, and I prefer those to comedy clubs most of the time. I do better at them.
They're better. Yeah,
yeah, most of the time. Well, and that's kind of part of the goal here is, like, you know, St. Pete seems to be growing a lot and mm-hmm. blowing up quite a bit, and downtown specifically seems like it's getting to be, you know, this spot. And you know, we want to get in early and try and bring in comedy to St. Pete early before somebody else comes in and, you know, screws it up. You know, we don't want some club here. We want to do it at places like Amsterdam and just work out a deal with them where we can put on an awesome show for people. And like I said, there's a lot of bartenders and servers downtown. That's kind of who we're trying to hit to come out as like a service industry night.
Yeah.
Make it kind of a cool event for people that work in the downtown area to come to on their night off.
You know, my thing, too, is, you know, when I really listen to, like, big-time comedians and they'll talk about, you know, doing 3 and 4 and 5 sets in a single night, like, that's my dream for this place. You know what I mean? I want there to be 5 open mics every night of the week so that you can literally do 15 or 20 sets in a week. I mean, that's when I think we become a real comedy city. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
We can start pulling stuff like that off. So the more rooms, man, I can't wait.
You know what I've noticed is that a lot of the Tampa people do not make their way over here. And I don't know if it's the same for – I think St. Pete people are okay with traveling in Tampa just because – that's where things were happening. But there's a lot of people that, like, even that I have on my Facebook friends list that I've never met, never seen at any of the open mics or anything like that. And I don't know how to bring those people over here.
Well, you know, Tampa's got the couple of real clubs. You know what I mean? If there are actual comedy clubs, I mean, they're all in Tampa, right? I mean,
Side Splitters, Improv. There's Coconuts down on St. Pete Beach.
Yeah, yeah. That doesn't feel... I don't know. It doesn't feel quite the same as the other two. But, I mean, I know what you're saying. You know, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm all about the kids that move. You know what I mean? I will go anywhere. If somebody, especially if somebody else is driving. Like, if there's an open mic in Sarasota tomorrow afternoon, I go. You know what I mean? Like,
no, that's a big thing for me, too, is it's like, you know, just.
Like, what else are you doing?
And,
I don't know.
I mean, if you have a gig that night, screw the open mic. But you know what I'm saying? Like, if not, this is our job, you know?
Absolutely. Well, and, like, I mean, I have a hard time, again, as long as somebody else is driving, it makes it so much easier, though, you know? Because, like, I get, you know, driving an hour or something or driving, because, I mean, me and Sick drive up to Dunedin to do John's on Monday all the time.
Yeah.
So, you know, it'd be nice to have a place closer by that we can work on material and do stuff. But at the same time, like, I get why that's annoying, you know, but, like, it doesn't stop, you know. Like, Friday night, I just had to drive out to Homosassa Springs for a show, you know, and it's a 2-hour drive, and I bombed. I hate shit.
It's a biker bar.
It was a biker bar, which those people hate my comedy. They just hate it. I've known that for a while. I've tried to get those rooms to like me. Can't do them, and, like, you then have to drive 2 hours back after that when you're performing. So it's like even when you're being paid to do shows, it's still like a 4-hour time span of just driving.
You shouldn't open with the anybody that rides motorcycles should wear helmets bits. Though. That shouldn't
opened
up with a tirade about helmet laws in Florida.
And then I go off on this whole thing about how motorcycles shouldn't even exist because people that drive them are stupid to begin with. And,
bad opener. Bad
you know, opener. I just, that's just, I'm so used to opening on that. You know, so I thought, you know what, let's be edgy. Let's hope they appreciate the art of it and just go for it. But
he was like, I knew a girl that was so ugly. And the crowd was like, how ugly was she? And Jake was like, she was so ugly that she rode on motorcycles. That was just the opener.
That's a funny joke.
And
I like that.
Just could never get him back.
You know what, though? That is actually kind of a funny joke because here's the thing. True.
Yeah.
True.
Totally true. Generally. I've never seen
like a hot
chick on a motorcycle.
And you figure, like, Florida's like pretty biker-centric, too. I mean, there's a lot of because you can bike here year-round. So there's
a lot
of people on motorcycles.
I feel like there are girls that I've seen on motorcycles that, like,
it's just,
used to be hot or could have been hot,
you're just
but,
not
like,
hot anymore.
Yeah, exactly. Or, like, you know, they just, I don't know. They're all broken down and sad. And,
I don't know why people can't laugh at themselves.
I guess
maybe
what I'm
it's...
trying to say here is I don't care if bikers don't like me. They're terrible people anyway. All
well,
right?
you gotta adjust your market, though. The more people that like you, the better off you're going to be. So yeah. You got to find a way to make those people like you. But I guess probably maybe bikers just don't have the best sense of humor, maybe is what it is.
Well, I mean, my thing is, too, it's almost like we literally discussed this, and this is not something that you know, you think about all the time, but, like, Jake was dressed a little bit, like, a little nerdy, you know, almost, like, preppy compared to, like, what your average biker would look like. And I was just like, yeah, man, I mean, like, that might have hurt you a little bit. Like, if you just were rolled up in, like, jeans and kind of, like, you know, a nice black T-shirt, like... You kind of like you yeah. know who would have killed there? Kyle Roos.
Oh yeah,
Kyle like would have rolled in, and they'd be like, killed. They would have thought he was a junior member.
Yeah, no, he would have killed. Like, Catherine Maloney, another great comic, she's killed there. I mean, it's just, and it's not. You know, I'm joking around when I say the stuff about bikers and stuff. Obviously, people, you know, have different opinions on what's funny to them. Like, I feel like Larry the Cable Guy would have killed there as well, and I'm not right. saying anything negative about him. It's different. Comedy's weird in that, like, music, there's country, there's rap, there's different styles of music that are clearly defined. Mm-hmm. And somebody who likes country probably doesn't like metal, right?
Sure.
Comedy's the same way. A lot of people just don't look at it that way, though. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
They just look at it like, oh, Larry the Cable Guy is funny. That is what funny is. And if you're not that, you're not funny. You know what I mean? Like... That's the way they seem to look at it. Not like, oh, this band plays metal. I don't like metal. So, you know, I'm not going to listen to that. But it more would be like, this band plays metal. Therefore, they're terrible.
You
know what I mean? Like,
it is, too. It's like, I mean, I will watch a comedian on TV that I really, really don't like. She's like not enjoying it. And there's, you know, 1,000 people in the audience laughing their ass off. So, you
yeah.
know what I mean? It is definitely to each their own type of situation.
I think that's probably true because, like, Joe Coy, people, like, don't Asians really like Joe Coy? And doesn't he do really well? And he's terrible.
I don't know Joe Coy.
He's on. He was always on like Chelsea Lately,
yeah.
stuff like that. One of those
guys.
So
league.
You find your
I've
niche.
I've heard the name, but I've never really.
And who's the Indian guy that does really well with Indians? I can't remember, but he's like
the Canadian
know. Super famous. Yeah,
he's
I think he might
from,
be Canadian.
Canada.
That could be true. I can't think of him right off the bat, but something like that. And Larry the Cable Guy's like that with rednecks.
Well, and you know what? I found though, because I mean, I do shows all over the place, like more with my band than just stand up. But even like you know, my band will do messed up songs or funny songs, or I'll just be you know talking shit to the crowd in between songs or whatever. And I'll say like right now, if I do a redneck room, I can say anything. I can make any joke. They might groan. They might even boo me. But nobody's going to, like, come up to me at the end and act like I'm not going to be allowed to play there or, you know, do stand-up there again because of what I said. And it's like, I don't know, like, I play to, like, hippie kids or something, and they are, like, all up in arms. I mean, they're so – it's almost like they're offended on behalf of other people that it's like they are
that's
super,
really
super, super, super touchy about – there are literally, like, hippie festivals around here that I'm not allowed to play. And it's just because, like, the things I say, stuff like that. But it's weird that, like, I will not get that in a redneck room.
Well,
redneck,
of course
I can
not.
Say anything
yeah.
I want.
Of
I can say
not.
Pro-Obama stuff in a redneck room.
See, but,
and they don't like it, yeah. but they don't act like I shouldn't be allowed to say it.
Yeah.
See, I disagree with you on that little bit right there about the shouldn't allowed to say it, because hippie people are also like that. Rednecks also don't let you say certain things as well, because I ran into that problem Friday night, because Bakers aren't exactly the same thing at rednecks, but they're close, and I have the same problem with rednecks when I'm performing for them too. And it's people get offended. It's people's personal offenses. Like what you're saying is offensive to hipster people generally, but what I say is offensive to rednecks because I get that stuff from them
yeah,
all
mean, dude,
the time.
Because I do
some anti-military stuff.
I do,
and they do not stand for that. Period.
Yeah, the military
so there
might
is
be a...
things that they don't stand for. They're okay with my racial humor because, you know, obviously.
Yeah.
And that's but what... they're not okay with some certain, you know, like this, like,
I don't know. I've run into
sarcastic kind of attitude.
Rednecks will boo. They, you know, they'll yell back. But, like, nobody acts like I'm not going to get rehired at the end of the day when I'm getting paid.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, the liberal rooms, that can happen. Or at least don't get me wrong. Like 15 years ago, I felt like it was totally the opposite.
Yeah.
Well, but something happened, and I remember, I think in the early 2000s, things started getting, people were getting really politically correct with things. And then it kind of seemed to neutralize a little bit. And then within the past few years, it's gotten, the pendulum has swung so far in that direction where you read articles. And I guess maybe it's just the evolution of the internet, accessibility, the blogs that are out there, the gawkers, the stuff like that, that people get their news from, the Jezebels. I saw an article, guys, yeah, and I don't know if you saw it, but it was, I think it was on Jezebel, about it's a patriarchal conspiracy that people keep offices cool because it makes women cold, and now they have to put on more clothes. And it also contributes to global warming as well, because we're using more power, so that's not good. It's just gone so in an extreme direction.
Yeah,
that
sounds crazy to
well,
me.
But that
it sounds
is,
crazy.
Yeah,
it is
that
crazy.
Is, there's a weird thing about, you know, I'd actually probably consider myself pretty feminist in most ways, but there are feminists that are like just overly vocal about stuff. And it just reminds me of just, you know, I'd be talking to my girlfriend or something, and she'd be like, "So what are you doing tonight?" And I'd be like, "I don't feel that good. I'm probably just going to, you know, watch Netflix and sleep, you know." And so I'll be like, "You know, I'll talk to you tomorrow." But then, like, one of my friends shows up, and they're like, "What are you, you know, are you a pussy? Like, come on, we're going out. Like, put on your shoes, whatever, you know." And I'm like, "Oh, all right, I'll put on my clothes." I go out. And then I run into my ex-girlfriend, right? So now I'm hanging out with my ex-girlfriend for a half hour at the bar. But, like, come the next day, you know, my girlfriend thinks I have, like, this scheme in place. You know what I'm saying? Like, I have this nefarious plan of how I lied to her, and now I went out behind her back and met up with her. It's like, dudes really don't have that much going on, you know?
No, so dudes are just, we're dumb. We don't have, most of us don't have a plan in
place.
Just,
especially with like an air conditioning.
Right.
I mean, that's like so many dudes would have had to get together, like every building owner.
But the thing about it is it's like it's easier to keep a place cold where people can put on a jacket than it is to keep it warmer where people are sweating. In an office building, especially, dudes are usually wearing long sleeve shirt, maybe even a suit at some places. You want to keep that place cool because you'll just be sweating all day and it'll be miserable.
So
dudes will smell.
People go to sleep. You know, like if you ever go to a show where it's too hot and people are waiting around, like the energy just gets lower and lower and lower. If it's kind of chilly in there, you know, people are, they stay up.
It keeps you more alert. I think that's true too. Yeah. But it's just everything is a conspiracy, it seems like, and every day. But I feel like these sites, these gawker sites and Jezebels and stuff like that, are eventually going to bite themselves in their ass.
Yeah, I mean, it really seems like it's gotten to be just clickbait stuff. Yeah. I mean, like, I love Cracked. Cracked is the website I hit almost every day. It's really, really funny and everything. I love the writing style, but even their headlines now are, it's weird. It's almost, like, the headlines will almost be, like, the opposite of what the story is. You know what I mean? Like, did this police officer shoot an innocent man in the street? You're about to be like, oh, no. Like, it's totally. You know what I mean? There's a lot of that stuff where you know, the headline just kind of leads you in one direction and the article doesn't really follow through on it. But
No, I've heard a lot like that. I know what you mean exactly.
It's like we're running out of news.
Yeah,
there's not enough
so
stuff.
Much.
Well, there's
all
so
over
much.
The place.
There's so much new media out there that everyone's trying to find their little enclave where they can sell advertisements, so they have to reach a certain audience. So then they get together in these groups, these like Tumblr social justice warriors, or like the Jezebel crowd and the Gawker crowd.
But it's so. It just to me, I mean, I've had, you know, Facebook wars with people. I've had comments that went on for 4 days about this subject or that subject. But just like looking back, it's like it made zero difference. The people that thought this about that still think this about that. The people that thought the opposite still think the opposite. And people are posting, you know, links to articles and like, you know.
See, well, this is the thing too. And if you guys are just joining up to sit down with comedians, Stick Martin and Jake Barsness. The thing about that is too, is I posted this thing on Facebook about people trash Fox News. And, you know, with a good reason, I guess. But it's always people that have never watched it. Ever, usually. 90% of those people have never bothered to tune in and watch. They just know that there's a conspiracy there.
I have watched it. I hate it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
how much
I
have
will
you watched, though, and what have you watched?
I have watched like a couple panels that they had on, like on, I don't know, you know, they were just random like panel shows.
How,
you know
how much
I mean?
Did you watch though, would you say, honestly?
Honestly, I probably watched about like over 20 some hours of it.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, my dad watches Fox.
My dad
News.
Used to watch it when I was in high school a lot. So it was on then, so I would see it then. And then there were times where I had sat down like with a buddy of mine to make fun of it for sure, but to watch it, like we would watch like a full episode and be like, really, they have a panelist of three people debating about whether the Patriot Act is okay, and all three of them are for it. They're just arguing about why it's good. You know what I mean? Like that. Like I was like watching that, and I'd be like, "What?" You know.
I think so many of the news networks, I mean, have the same problem, but Fox just seem to be the most hardcore about it. Of even just like. And I think, you know, Daily Show has been making fun of it for 10 years. But just like the infographics where you'd little see like an F-16 like swoop across the screen and there'd be an explosion, you know, like ion terror in the Mideast. Like just over the top stuff like that. Plus they seem to be the first network that had kind of like the pro wrestler style pundits, you know what I mean? Where you have like your Rush Limbaughs and your
Hannity's.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That just it was auteur news reporting. I mean, it was like, yeah, it's kind of reporting the news, but the personality of the person delivering it was more important than any single bit of information that we're giving.
And
you.
A lot of those shows, like O'Reilly Show and Hannity Show, it's more of an opinion show because they're given their. They're not really reporting the news. They're kind of giving their own spiel.
Yeah,
it's
more of a opinion, editorial style stuff. My thing stuff too is I don't care whether it's Obama or Bush, right? If like you just like every single day Obama has done something terrible. If that's the only thing, if there's never a day where it's like, no, he actually did this, and I agree with that decision. You know, I don't agree with him normally, but today. But like if there was any of that, I'd have so much respect for either any of the news organizations. See, but it's all one side.
And it's not even that.
Always.
I agree with you guys. It's opinion, but at the same time, they don't claim it's opinion. That's what bothers me. They say they do in like a weird little, you know, art, you know what I mean? But then like they'll literally call it the news. You know what I mean? Like every show is bringing you the news, the breaking hour, you know.
There's a part on the other side. There's MSNBC. That's the liberal station where you got your Olbermans, your what's her name? The lady.
I don't know. She's a woman. Who
you
cares?
You know what it seems, that's, though? Yeah.
To set it up.
There's
So my point was with this, too, is that the people that trash Fox News, which there's a lot of because there's a lot of younger people, and younger people tend to be more liberal, you know, our age and below. So I see most people trashing Fox News as opposed to MSNBC. And then those people will post links from MSNBC and act like it's not bought and paid for, too. That was my point in this whole thing, is that most media is bought and paid for.
My thing is like, when you look at the origin of news media, like it'd be like some guy owned a giant factory in a town in 1860, and the entire town basically worked at this factory. And like, you know, some people would get upset about the factory conditions, you know what I mean? So like the guy that owned the factory would create a newspaper that features stories about how wonderful the factory is. That is the birth of news. That's what that's how it started. It started as propaganda. It wasn't until, you know, 60, 70 years later that there were certain newsmen that were like, had this, well, like, no, we're going to do this with integrity. You know, we're going to report facts without opinion. But that was, I mean, a short-lived thing at best. You know what I mean?
You know why?
The origin, it was always propaganda.
You know why it didn't last too long? Because it's boring. The truth is boring.
Yeah.
So they have to pump these things up and put the infographics.
You know, truck arrives on time isn't a news story. Right. Truck overturns on the freeway, 35 dead. I am buying that paper.
That's right. That's right.
That's why I don't follow any of it anymore. People make fun of me all the time for it, but I'm like, it doesn't affect my life. It never has. Yeah. So I don't follow it. So like people tell me like, oh, they'll be talking about like ISIS or something like that. And I'm like, I have no idea what that is. You know, I mean, I know now, but like literally for months, I would be like, I have no idea. And be like, how do you not know what ISIS is? And I'm like, well, I mean, what has it done here? And they're like, oh, it does stuff in a country on the other side. I'm like,
you know,
I don't care.
Hilarious.
Like, I don't want.
This was hilarious. Like, a month before that dropped, Subway created like a new rewards program called ISIS, right? This brand, I don't know if you remember, a couple years ago they had like reward point cards and they got rid of them. Well, they were bringing it back with this awesome new points campaign called ISIS, because I guess it's like the terrorist group, it stands for something, right? It's an acronym.
Islamic State.
But I think it's an Egyptian god.
Subway.
Right? Something like that. Yeah. But it was just like, man, the timing
in
on
Subway
that.
Or something.
I was like, oof.
My wallet on my phone, the online wallet, was called the ISIS wallet. And they quickly changed it thereafter. I got an email saying that it was now going to become the Google wallet.
What's it, on Archer? There, that television show Archer. I think the good guy organization was called ISIS.
The
spy organization was called ISIS. Yeah. Kids walk around with ISIS T-shirts on.
Yeah. So then it screws up everything. I mean, people forget that. I saw a picture too with like a hockey team in like 1912 with swastikas on their uniforms. You know, because it means like peace and tranquility in Hindu or something like that.
Yeah,
and they had it on there. So
it used to be a completely different symbol.
Yeah,
but that's why, like again, that's why I don't watch it. But also, you just brought up an interesting point. Like, that's why, like, okay, because this is going on right now. I've noticed on like Facebook and stuff, like the whole Confederate flag thing, and everybody trying to take that down. I just want to say I'm totally for taking it down. And anybody that has a Confederate flag, sports one or wears one, you're an idiot. You're a moron. At best, or you're a racist, all right? Because you're either a racist because you're supporting something that is clearly racist, or
it's like a moron. I think it's like moderate Christian. Like, I'm a moderate racist, you know? Like, I'm not really – I'm not a huge racist myself, but I support, you know, racist systems. You know what I mean? Like,
That's my point, though, is that, like, yeah, that you're racist, or at best you're a moron, because the argument is obviously then like, oh, well, didn't mean that, you know, 200 years ago and blah, blah, blah. But, like, neither did the Nazi symbol. Neither did the, you know, swastika. That used to mean peace and tranquility, like you said. Like, but it does now. You know what I mean? Like, it does mean that now, though.
Well, it's like gay used to mean happy.
Yeah.
Like, now in the current paradigm, it doesn't mean that anymore.
And
you know what I mean?
Like, the KKK uses the Confederate flag.
It got
so it is racist. You know, like they like,
well, I just, the Klan actually used the back in the day when they first came around, they used the American flag.
Yeah, but not anymore. I mean, they've used Confederate
I think
flag
they still use both.
Now. They might.
Yeah, I think you'll still, you know, whenever I go to a Klan meeting, there's both.
Whatever. It's, you know, I mean, it's still, like, clearly at this point a different meaning. You know what I mean? So it's like, you can either support that meaning or you can give up on your flag from 200 years ago that nobody else cares about.
Well, you know what? This is kind of in the same vein. My mechanic calls my transmission the tranny. Like, that's just what, like, those, like, I don't know, just rednecks call it. Like, it has nothing to do with anybody's sexuality. But just, like, that is such the hot button word right now. Yeah. I literally wonder if a mechanic's nickname for a transmission has to change.
I guarantee. I'm pretty sure I've already read some stuff like this.
Where mechanics have run into problems with it?
Really?
Let me see if I can find something. I'll send it to you
Because you've heard that, right? I'm not making that up. I've literally heard my mechanic call that number of times. And that's a really weird one, too, because for people that aren't within that community, it's just like, okay, that's offensive now? Like, I will stop using it. Like, I didn't. A year ago, I didn't know that was an offensive word to anybody.
Well, hey, guys, this has been an interesting talk, but we're out of time.
We are out of time.
So give out your social media stuff and places where people can find you and all that.
You can find me on Facebook under Jake Barsness, or you can find me on Twitter at BarsnessMonster.
That's Twitter?
Yeah, it's my last name.
I like it. I think
it's like
cute.
The Loch Ness Monster.
What about you, Stick, quickly?
I'm at Stick Martin on Twitter and StickMartin.com.
Yeah.
All right. And I am. Go ahead.
August 9th.
Yes.
Starts 11 p.m. Bands Up, Stand Up, Mixed Music Comedy Show at the Amsterdam.
And every Sunday after that, starting at 11:30?
11 p.m. Music starts, 12:30 comedy starts.
All right. Find me on Twitter, home_made_man, facebook.com/thehomemadebroadcast, facebook.com/radiosaintpete, and radiosaintpete.com. Guys, thank you very much.
Thank you.
No problem. Thank you for having us.
You got it. See you later.